Thank you for tuning in to Voices for Freedom, an anti-human trafficking podcast. We want to acknowledge that the content we discuss can be emotionally challenging and may evoke strong reactions. The stories we share often delve into tough subjects related to human trafficking, which may be difficult for some listeners to hear. Our goal is to raise awareness and promote understanding of the complexities surrounding human trafficking. Listener discretion is advised. Coming up on Voices for Freedom, an anti-trafficking podcast.
I know of four generations of women in Central Florida at a certain strip of a street where they have been trafficked, and just it passes down to their child. You know, you got the grandmother, the great-grandmother, the grandmother, the mother, and then the child, right? And they're growing up and they're not going, hey, I have been sex trafficked.
That's just normal to them. That's just everyday
right.
life.
That's everyday. That's survival. Mm-hmm. That is survival mode. This is all I know.
Welcome to the Voices for Freedom podcast. My name is Jessica Mass with OUR, and I am here with my friend and the founder and CEO of Empowered to Change International. Thank you for being here, Michelle. I'm so grateful to get this chance to talk with you today.
Thank you for having me, Jess. It's like old times, right? Just talking about the things that matter and give us passion.
Yeah. And I've had the privilege of knowing you since 2001 when we did the Super Bowl outreach in
yes.
Florida.
Yeah, 2021. So it was the Super Bowl of 2020.
Okay.
That one, yeah. So we're 4 years now.
This
four
is amazing.
Years. I know. It totally is.
I remember meeting you and trying to piece together everything you did because there's so many different things you do. And I had never heard of some of the things that you are specifically focused on. So could you tell us a little bit about Empowered to Change International, what you guys do, what you're all about?
Yes. So at Empowered to Change International, we are 10 years running now. And myself and the other founder, Coral Shepherd, we just had a passion for broken women that were trafficked, abused, have addiction problems, all stemming from being vulnerable and experiencing trauma. So we started at a booth in Chick-fil-A because we just believed that we could create something better than what we knew that was out there. Empowered to Change International, we empower the broken to heal, the voiceless to speak, and communities to come together. And we do that by providing safe housing and programs. So that's the nutshell version of what we do. We do have homes for men and homes for women, because we realize that trauma is just, it's just across the board, isn't it?
Yeah.
And the things that are happening to our people, you know, if you don't catch it when they're children, they grow up to be broken adults. And we have found that the common denominator is they need a safe place to stay. They need a safe place to figure it out and to have structured programs based upon honesty, accountability, transparency, communication. And that's who we are. That's what we're about.
It's incredible. One of the things I remember so vividly from when we first met is that you said that you had homes for men.
Yes.
And I hear all the time, well, men don't get trafficked or sexually abused or mm-hmm. go through these different types of situations. And so when I heard that you had homes for men, mm-hmm. that really stood out to me. So
yes.
what was it that sparked that idea for you to have homes for men and for women?
Well, what originally sparked the idea is we were in various courtrooms, and in Central Florida, they have actually therapy courtrooms. And the judge at the time asked us to please open up some homes for men because there were men in their therapeutic court and they didn't have a safe place. And so I think it was in 2015, I decided to just do a running survey just with our participants current. And 92% of our adult men, 92% of them were sexually traumatized, and had some form of sexual trauma and being sold or trafficked for financial gain against their will.
Wow.
Yes.
Wow. I feel like that statistic says so much about what men go through. And it's so hard for men to disclose that sometimes.
Exactly.
For embarrassment or other reasons where they're like, well, how do I even get help? Do I even want to go down this road of what I've been through?
Right. The shame, the stigma of it, you know, and I think there's such an identity crisis going on with men. And then you tackle the trauma on top of that. You tackle on, you know, they're supposed to just suck it up, right? Don't talk about it. And it's shameful. And, you know, why would they want to do that? And so there are such layers of trauma and how people respond. So when we work with men and women that are returning citizens from prison, or they have charges, local charges, right? And we really assess what happens. You know, what happened? What led you to be here right now? And when we do further assessment, we find out, okay, there's sexual trauma. They've been raped. They have been held against their will. And somehow we expect people to process that and somehow deal with it.
Wow.
You know, without help.
A lot of people, if somebody goes to prison, they give up on them. That's the end of the road for them. They feel like that, you know, that if they've committed certain crimes, then there's no hope for actual recovery.
Right.
So you work with people who have been sexually exploited, trafficked, and they're coming out of prison?
Yes.
And so for some reason, you believed that there was hope still for healing.
We do. We do. And that's, you know, sometimes I think there's a place for all of us, you know, in helping broken people get onto a healing road of redemption, restoration. And we are very careful at Empowered to Change International that we look at each person, what they presented. For example, you could have a young boy that had been sexually traumatized, right? They grow up, they're angry, they get in with the wrong crowd, they're dealing drugs or committing crimes, and we are not okay with that, by the way. We are not making excuses for people. We say, okay, let's deal with it. Let's go. What brought you here? What brought you here? Okay, you did your time. Now you're returning. You're a returning citizen. Now what? What is going to make you change your pattern, change your thinking pattern? So we provide safe housing for men and women to go through trauma therapy. We have various types, and we partner with several amazing organizations in Central Florida, and just give them the time and the space. I think so many people think, oh, well, you know, a 30-day something or another is going to make it all better. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it's you know, at least a year just to scratch the surface, you know, and we're honored to be a part of that process. It's a process.
Yeah. And you bring up a good point where if you have a 30 to 90 day type of program for people coming from such extreme trauma and from prison, then 30 to 90 days probably isn't going to be the full change and empowered to actually change that they need. And so you guys have programs that are based on individuals. So if somebody needed 12 months or 24 months, are they allowed to have either, or how do you guys work around that time frame?
Okay, so that's a good question. We work with various courtrooms, and in Florida, the Department of Corrections. So the time frame could be anywhere from 7 months to 12 months. However, if they need more time, we give them all the time they need. So we don't, as long as they're complying with our core values, our core principles, which is being honest, accountable, communicate, zero tolerance for criminal activity. As long as they are on that road, right? And we have very structured programs, and they feel that they're not ready to move out or to go to the next level. It's very important that we listen to that. It's trauma-informed care. They know better than anybody what's going on in their process. And it's also building relationships. We have an incredible staff at Empowered to Change International that it's face-to-face. It's weekly. It's touching. We call them touch points, where we touch base. Hey, we haven't seen you. We need to see you. We'll go into the home. We have peer coaches and peer specialists, which I firmly believe that people that have been down the healing road and they want to be a peer specialist and use their lived experience to actually make a difference. You know, they've gone through the work. They've done the work. They're walking on their healing road. We don't say that, everybody's arrived. I haven't arrived, right? But what we have obtained, we say, keep going, keep pressing forward, moving forward.
Yeah. Michelle, that's amazing. Could you tell me, you touched on it briefly, so could you just tell me a little bit more about what is therapeutic court? In a nutshell, how would you describe that?
Okay.
Because a lot of people have never heard of therapeutic courtrooms.
Right. So that's a general term. Around the nation, it would be drug court. Some courts have specialized courtrooms for prostitution. And I'm very careful because I need the grace not to have all the perfect language, right? Because what they are, in fact, are prostitution courts.
That's the official title that the state of Florida has given them?
Well, it's not just the state of Florida, and it's around the country, and they could have a different name for it, and I just want to be careful. They could just, I'll just make up a name. Sunshine Court. Okay, something that says, hey, we're here, we know what this is, and it is for a therapeutic road. If there's a prostitution charge, misdemeanor or felony, they could get pulled into these specialized courtrooms, okay? And then they get evaluated. And then further evaluation, and we've had people come into our program court-ordered, and they're when I say court ordered, everybody has a buy-in, okay? Nobody is forced to come and get help. No one's forced to go down a therapeutic road. They want to. They have to want to. And when they do come in, that is many times where we go, okay, no little girl aspires to grow up and prostitute herself on the street. And what we find out time and time again is, oh, they were vulnerable. They ran away from a domestic violence situation, or they aged out of foster care, or they got in with the wrong crowd and the boyfriend saw dollar signs after a bit. And then they stumbled into prostitution. And then they stumbled into being trafficked, because then they're being held against their will. They're there to do their sexual services and then turn the money over to whoever's controlling them.
Wow.
And that's when we find out, once they've already come into our program, we're like, wow, this is very layered and deep.
Well, thank you, Michelle. We are going to take a quick break and tell you about one of our sponsors, but don't go away, because this conversation is meaningful and insightful, and I think will really help us have a better understanding of what trafficking is, what it's like for those that have been trafficked and then end up in prison, and what it's like for them coming out. So stay tuned as we take a short break.
We want to give a shout out to our sponsor, the OUR Store. Are you looking for a shopping experience that goes beyond the ordinary? Well, look no further than the OUR Store, where every purchase makes a difference. But it's not just about shopping. It's about our values. We responsibly source products that spark conversations on human trafficking to increase awareness or directly aid survivors. Join the movement. Visit store.ourrescue.org. That's store.ourrescue.org. And use the code VOICES10 for 10% off your total purchase. VOICES10 and shop with a cause.
Welcome back. My name is Jessica with Operation Underground Railroad, and I am here with Michelle from Empowered to Change International. And we're having this interesting conversation about what sexual exploitation and trafficking looks like in different situations. So, Michelle, thank you for talking about drug court and therapeutic courts and things like that, because I think that that really does give us a deeper understanding of what trafficking is, what it looks like.
Thank you. I'm honored to be here. And I think people don't even know that these type of judicial systems are even out there.
I actually didn't know until you educated me a few years ago. Uh-huh. And I've been working in anti-trafficking for a long time. And so I think giving that insight is so powerful and helpful for us to understand. Yeah. So, Michelle, when somebody is coming out of prison or from a different situation, how do they end up in your organization at one of the safe homes? How do they even end up there with you?
Okay. Well, there's different formats, if you will. So, for example, when we're discussing the prison system in Florida, we have a great relationship with the Department of Corrections, and I just want to give kudos to the Department of Corrections. The reformations that have been happening over the years that we have been involved, I can tell that they're making a difference, and there's some incredible people in the Department of Corrections that truly care what happens to an individual once they leave. And so what happens with, I'll just use women as an example, okay, Lowell Prison is the largest women's prison in the United States, last I checked.
Okay. The largest in the United States?
Yes, okay. That's the stats that we understand, and that's Central Florida. So we have an office there and a home for returning citizens coming out of Lowell, and not just Lowell, but other institutions in Central Florida or South Florida. And what we do is we go inside the prisons. We talk about who we are, all right? We understand that there are groomers in the prison, that there are traffickers that are aware of women and their outdate. And we understand that they are waiting and preying on the vulnerable. And what I mean by vulnerable is, okay, you have a woman that's been incarcerated, whether 18 months or 10 years, 5 years, 20 years. All right, everybody's got a story. And when they leave, the trafficker is waiting and going, hey, I don't know if you have a place to go, but I have a job for you. And it sounds like a legit job. I mean, your number one thing is, where am I going to move? How am I going to make a living? How am I going to pick up the pieces? And so Empowered to Change, our heart is to build relationships with people in the prison, with the Department of Corrections and the corrections officers, but also educate and make aware of the women in the prison who we are, and for them to think about it and to have a plan. And so that's where it starts for us. And when they do have the outdate and they do choose to come into our program, then our staff will meet them, whether it's at the gate, whether it's at the bus station. We just take it from that moment and just walk them through, and understanding that it could be a very huge shock for these women, depending on how long they've been in.
Yeah. So you and your staff actually go into the prison, let the women know who you are, that there's hope when they get out. And you also touched on, you said groomers inside the prison and traffickers waiting for them on the outside. Who are these groomers inside the prison, and what are they doing?
So we've experienced, and I have to say that groomers also happen in local county jails as well. And I had more experience. Our team had quite a bit of experience with groomers in the local county jails, but In prison, there are other women in the jail, in the prison, that get to know who they are. The constant theme is, hey, what are you in here for? How long are you in here for? And getting to see the vulnerable inside the prison, the vulnerable being they have no family visiting, they have no money on the books, no commissary, no extra snacks, no coffee. You know what I mean? It is recognizing who's vulnerable. And the women in the prisons that are going around taking a look and seeing who's vulnerable, well, they're being used by the traffickers, and how they are being controlled, or, you know, the carrots being dangled is that they get money on their books, right?
So the traffickers are using women that are incarcerated.
Inside, yes.
And then giving them certain benefits.
Correct.
Or extra snacks, food, things like that.
Correct.
In order to find the vulnerable, the mm-hmm. other women that are incarcerated that are vulnerable, that could potentially be trafficked once they get out.
Correct. Once wow. they get out, and finding out how long are they in for. You know, they're not gonna waste any time for people that are, you know, in for 15 years. But if your out date is in 6 months or 12 months, developing that relationship and courting, if you will, saying, listen, my buddy on the outside, he has a place, he has an apartment, he has a legit job. You know, they might even talk on the phone, or, you know, even visit. And you just, you know, you're on the inside going, yeah, I really, what am I going to do? Right? So you might not even know that that is out there. And it's interesting that we're talking about this, because I did stumble on a report, Jessica, and I stumbled on this by the University of Colorado, Mailing McNamara. Out of prison and onto the streets, the trafficking of incarcerated women. And just how they did a study, and it basically supports what we have found in the prison in the local county jail. I mean, we had a situation not long ago where we had a young lady who was in for a drug charge, had been trafficked in her life, lots of trauma. And she had been groomed while she was inside the local jail. They, oh, I got your back. Here's money. I've got you, you know, and providing them with some type of sustainability, snacks inside. But when they get out, you know, providing a cell phone, providing clothes and food, and even a job, a legit job, until the switch is flipped.
Yeah, and a lot of what I hear you saying is the vulnerabilities that anyone has when they're getting trafficked or they're being groomed.
Correct.
But I think the specific thing where you are saying we go into the prisons, that is not a place that normally we think of.
No.
And that's why I love some of the things that you guys do, where you're building relationships, rapport, you're letting them know that there's hope, and you're helping them know what trafficking is, because a lot of the women and men that you've worked with, mm-hmm. my understanding is they didn't even know that they were being trafficked. Is that correct?
That is correct. Because when you grow up in such a dysfunctional home, a home of abuse, a home of you know, the actual parents may be there, they may not be, other people are taking care of them. There's sexual trauma, there's, you know, I know of four generations of women in Central Florida at a certain strip of a street where they have been trafficked, and just it passes down to their child. You know, you got the grandmother, the great grandmother, the grandmother, the mother, and then the child, right? And they're growing up and they're not going, hey, I have been sex trafficked.
That's just normal to them. That's just everyday
right.
life.
That's everyday. That's survival. Mm-hmm. That is survival mode. That's this is all I know. I mean, I know several women where that all they can remember is using their bodies, and they didn't ask for it, you know. But when they're growing up, that's all they know. Mm-hmm. And they have to understand that not only is it wrong to be treated that way, but that they're worth so much more. that the value of human life and the worth of that individual, man, woman, child, they are worth more. And that's where we just begin. You know, it's not for the faint of heart, for sure. We just start loving them. And part of that love is telling them the truth. It's not, we have this saying around Empower to Change. We say ETC, no blind eye, no deaf ear, right? So we love on them, but we are not afraid to press in and say, listen, you don't have to lie anymore. Did you know that? You can actually live a life without lying. The truth sets you free, right? That's what we learn. We learn that in so many different areas. And they don't have to lie anymore. They don't need a, quote, sugar daddy, because they never thought, hey, I can have a legit job. I can learn how to manage my money, pay my own bills, and I can learn how to stand on my own 2 feet.
That's amazing, because that's the life transformation that you're talking about.
It is.
And one of the things that I've experienced through my years of working in anti-trafficking and at OUR is people have this myth that a trafficker looks a certain way. They're like a creepy, dirty person that's just lurking in the dark.
Right.
But I know that you've worked with all different types of situations. So
yes.
Is it just the creepy person that's super poor and they're just trying to exploit somebody to get more money? Or is there different types of traffickers that you've worked with, or survivors that you've worked that have worked with different people?
I can tell you, I always think I've seen it all, and I'm not shocked, but I do get shocked. I do get shocked all the time. And just this idea that men don't get trafficked. So in our line of work, we stumbled upon a guy who was from Europe and was on one of those social media apps and flew all the way over to Miami to meet a doctor and, you know, thought, this is an awesome opportunity and I'm going to meet this wonderful person. And he was being groomed by a doctor. And over the course of time, just got him to move in with him in another location in Florida. And miraculously, his passport goes missing. His ID goes missing. There's a huge drug problem they're using together. So many of the traffickers start off to be, you know, boyfriends, girlfriends, trusted people, right? So over the course of time, he was being used to, you know, in order to live in a nice home and eat food. And, you know, this person owned everything about him. You know, if you want to eat, if you want to stay here, you're going to run this over here. You're going to do this. You know, that there are no boundaries with traffickers, you know. I've heard people go, well, is it human trafficking or sex trafficking? Did he use them for sex or employment or drugs? And the answer is yes.
A lot of times it all goes together.
Right. There's no honor among these type of people. It's it's seeing the vulnerable and taking advantage and seeing how they can benefit financially.
Wow.
in every way.
And it's not always poverty situations. You said he's a doctor. So the guys had this man that he met on a social media platform.
Correct.
Had him fall in love with him, basically.
Correct.
The whole Romeo trafficking situation. I love you. I care about you so much. I'd do anything for
you.
Exactly. And then the script turns.
Correct.
And now it's, you owe me. You need to go and run these drugs, or you need to go do this, and now I'm also going to sexually exploit you. And
right.
And I took your passport or your ID. You right. had no way of leaving. And then what are
you
going to
do? And you can't get a job because your green card expired, right? And you don't have any ID. But with this particular person, and I'm only speaking of lived experiences, and I want to be real careful. I was given permission just to talk about this person. But what was incredible was when this person a few years ago became in our program, he didn't receive. I tried to say, listen, you're worth more than this. You're being used. You're being trafficked. And he goes, no, I wasn't. Right? No, I haven't. And then over the course of time, and in his life, and he's certainly no longer in our program, but just had different run-ins with law enforcement or the prison system, reached out to me and said, listen, I just want to thank you for speaking that truth to me. I didn't receive it right away, but now that I've been here sitting in, you know, this institution, I look back and go, yeah, wow. I was being trafficked. Whether it can be proved or not, whether it can be prosecuted or not, the fact remains is that he came to an understanding that he was in fact trafficked, that he has been used and sold and traumatized, and his life took a serious left turn. And just that realization is the beginning of healing, because you have to get to whatever crud at the bottom that led you here. And so that was encouraging, not just for us as a team, but just for him to see his worth, that he was created for more than this. And that was exciting, that we could just be just a very small piece in his puzzle, his recovery, his journey on the healing road.
Which is what you guys are all about.
That's
is
right.
Being a part of somebody's journey and walking alongside them. And to what you're speaking to, I do think there's so much power when we can identify what we've been through, the trauma that we've been through,
yes,
to help us then start to heal.
Correct. Yes.
So thank you, Michelle. We are going to take a short break, come back, and listen to the rest of Michelle's amazing organization that she started, and learn more about what trafficking is and to be able to identify it in your own community, because this is something that we're talking about that happens right here in the United States. This isn't just an international problem. This is here in the United States, and Michelle is tackling this problem head on. So thank you. Stay tuned.
Hey, listeners, did you know that the OUR store has survivor-made goods? From unique jewelry to handcrafted goods, these items aren't just things. They're crafted by survivors of human trafficking, empowering them to reclaim their lives. Each purchase is a step forward in their healing journey. It is more than a product. It is a symbol of strength. Join us in supporting survivors. Visit store.ourrescue.org today and shop survivor-made items. Let's make a difference together. That's store.ourrescue.org, where your purchase becomes a beacon of hope. Use code VOICES10 to get 10% off your total purchase. That's VOICES10 and shop with a cause.
Welcome back to the Voices for Freedom podcast. My name is Jessica, and I am here with Michelle, who has been giving us so much insight and different perspectives on how people get trafficked, how this happens, and hopefully provides education for you to be able to identify trafficking in your own community, know how to report, know what to do, and also the encouragement that there are homes out there for men, for women, for children of all different backgrounds, for hope that there actually is healing after going through trafficking. So Michelle, thank you. Michelle,
thank you.
One of the things that people criticize sometimes is that aftercare homes are either faith-based or they're not faith-based. And depending on where someone falls on that spectrum
right?
is
right.
where their criticism usually comes from. So how have you addressed the aftercare side of mm-hmm. things? If somebody wants faith or somebody doesn't want faith to be incorporated, what is your perspective and insight on how to help somebody in aftercare with that?
So we call it the elephant in the room. And we're not afraid of it, right? We just press in to these crucial conversations that we have to have. So Empowered to Change International is a 501c3 human services charitable organization. However, myself and Coral Shepherd, this was founded on the faith of us women, right? So we're women of faith and we're unashamed over that or unafraid. However, we want everybody to feel safe and know that they have a choice, right? So if we have somebody coming in and they say, you know, I don't want to speak about spiritual matters, well, then we honor that because I don't like anything shoved down my throat. Do you?
I sure don't.
No. So we do that. Now, we part of what who we are is for communities to come together. So we do partner with churches, especially post-COVID, that, you know, are interested in home missions, right? So we, you know, foreign missions, great. We are all a part of that. We're excited to support other organizations. But home missions is, listen, we care about what's happening in our front yard, right? So whatever that particular church has a heart for, so we partner with a church in a small town in Florida, and they have a heart for men after they have done their time in prison. And we call it the Mercy House. And that is a way that we can partner, the church can partner with them, go come alongside, be a mentor, disciple them, you know, go through this discipleship program. And that's all faith. However, we have all these other homes for women and men that are not, quote, faith-based. But hey, we believe in honesty, accountability, communication, structured programs across the board. And you don't have to talk about spiritual matters to start on that track, if that makes sense.
Yeah, because okay. Some people have been through ritual abuse with right? trafficking. And
exactly.
And people have used God and religion mm-hmm. to manipulate or control them.
Yes.
So if they're coming out and then they're going into an aftercare home that says you have to be a part of Bible study or you have to be a part of the specific religion, denomination, faith.
Exactly. Where they got traumatized in the first place.
Exactly.
Yes.
And so you never make somebody
no.
be a part of that.
No.
But if somebody does say, that actually is important to me,
mm-hmm.
then they have a place, they have a different home where it's structured that way and it's built into the program of healing. Is that correct?
Correct. It is. And the outcome, the goal is that they're walking and equipped, empowered to take care of themselves, walking on a healing road, clean and sober, and able to make conscious decisions for themselves.
Definitely. Definitely. Michelle, there's one other thing I just wanted to talk about because your experience is so vast, but you've worked within corruption as well. You've seen corruption happen.
Yeah.
And could you tell me a little bit about what does that mean? And I know it's all things that you're like, I personally have seen this because you're such a positive person still, which is amazing mm-hmm. that you can be so positive with everything that you see and that happens.
That's the grace of God. That's for sure. Yes. So when we're working with broken people, right, we stumble on things. And this, I'll just speak of one incident. There's so many that we have successful graduates and they graduate our program. And then they, we have some that, you know, 9 years later, they're clean, they're sober, they got their kids back. They're just amazing, productive people. And then some people have, you know, a little bit further to go, right? So we had this young lady who trusted me and contacted me during a really hard time. And she was in another legal battle in Central Florida. And she was unrealized, just not realizing that she was being lured by, I'll just put attorneys that were in her life. And when I say lure, it's the, hey, I have, you know, you're an awesome person. We'll get through this legal battle that you have, but I want you to come and be my personal assistant, right? And, you know, you can stay in my beautiful home on the beach, and I'll give you this so cool car to drive, and let's talk about it.
Even if it was just that, talk about the boundaries being broken there.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And with this particular young lady, She was groomed. She was traumatized. She was violated and left for dead, really. And
by the attorneys?
Yes.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
So they promised her all these different things.
Promised her a job, promised her things, but there was also, you know, drugs involved in a party while they're talking about it. And she, you know, almost died. She was on life support, not expected to live at that.
Wow. So the girl that was groomed, promised and given all these different, probably cell phone, house, mm-hmm. clothes, all these nice things by these attorneys. Mm-hmm. And then they drugged her. They sexually exploited her.
Correct.
They used her.
Correct.
Left her for dead.
Correct.
So she did stand up. And that's the fears. If I stand up and say something, will something actually be done?
Or is her life in danger?
And yeah.
Right.
And so from that girl's
perspective. And this was years ago. I want to say years ago because it turned out, and I didn't mean to interrupt you there, Jess.
Keep going.
So she did stand up. She wanted to use her voice and say, this is what happened. But then you have people that look at her background. Oh, well, you've also been arrested for drugs. How do I know this is true? You know, these things. But in the age of cameras and factual bases and how everything can be laid out, the foundations, you know, and for nothing to happen. And as far as I know, I haven't heard from her lately. She's alive and well, I'm hoping and praying. But she did have bouts, again, with jail and or prison and just compounded trauma by organizations that are supposed to be a part of the healing process and not to take advantage of a vulnerable person. Yeah. Who is beautiful, beautiful person.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think you touch on a piece where a lot of times people think, oh, somebody, there's an intervention and somebody is rescued or whatever that situation is. And then it's all better and they're never going to be exploited or trafficked again. And in reality, mm-hmm. those vulnerabilities sometimes get re-exploited. And I think with Empowered to Change and other organizations, when it's, we won't give up on you though.
Right.
As long as there's still breath in your lungs, we will not give up on you. And we'll continue to walk this battle with you as you're fighting the complex trauma that you are speaking to.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And one of the things that I love with having you on, Michelle, is that this specific podcast, we want to have those hard conversations.
Yes.
We want to say, hey, here's a topic or here's a controversy. Here's something that people in the anti-trafficking world don't agree on. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about it.
Right.
And start to have conversations with each other and within the anti-trafficking communities. And like you said, you partner with a lot of different people. Let's come together in unity so that we can help the one and we can continue to be unified in our actual mission, which is to love people and to help them heal.
100%. And it's the hard conversations that we can feel like, oh, you don't talk about that, you know? And Empowered to Change has just walked out these things where sometimes we might be just, you know, okay, so we're in a corner by ourselves and that's okay. You know, it's that we know who we are. And we always say it's progress, not perfection. We are fallible people, but it's the heart. It's the walk of, but we want to be healed and I'll fight for it. I'll fight for my own healing. And that means I have to be free to say what has happened in my life. And it's not to harm other people. It's not to cast shade on family members or friends or whatnot. It's to say, this is what happened to me and I'm on the other side. And even the people that I have been hurt by, they have walked a healing road, right? So forgiveness and understanding where they were broken or vulnerable, that's a thing. And if we just have this understanding that forgiveness is key, and it's not for the person that hurt us, it's for me.
Mm.
You know, and just understanding that we have to be safe to talk about it. We have to press into these hard conversations. And that's why Operation Underground Railroad, you guys are the real deal. And I will say that, and I say it everywhere I go, because you taught me, Jessica, that, and your people, when we first met, you spent 3 hours finding out about our organization. You saw one of the homes. You saw our offices, because building relationships and understanding each other, that's how we use the discernment to see if we're the real deal. And I learned that from you guys. And so I am thrilled that you have this platform for people to use their voice.
Oh, well, it's I get to learn so much too, but I do believe in authentic relationships. Yes. And also when I mess up or when I say the wrong thing, then I can ask for forgiveness. Right. Because we're in real relationships.
Exactly.
And so we've loved partnering with you. We've Yes. loved the ways that we've got to help Empowered to Change International with the house and with different things that we've got to help with empowering you guys with.
Yes.
So how can people help you? We, OURs, had the privilege of helping you in different ways. How can a listener help you?
Well, and thank you for that. They can log on to our website, all one word, empoweredtochangeint.org. And we always are looking for, even from small donations, for people that are now in a healthy place to get a job. We help with employment, but they need transportation for that. So even something simple as a bus pass, right? Or food, you know, money for food just until they get started on a small scale, that's huge. And that's always welcome. But understanding that Empowered to Change International, just like Operation Underground Railroad, we're better together. And we want to uplift and highlight organizations like yourselves and others that are the real deal. And it's not all about us and, you know, what we can give or get. So just any way that we can help you guys is on our plate as well.
Well, thank you, Michelle. And being in unity is what it's all about. Because yes. sometimes anti-trafficking organizations will start to not like each other. And it's like, oh, but our mission is to serve. So right. even if we don't agree now, maybe we'll agree in 5 years. But if we hurt our relationship now, we won't have the opportunity to agree in five
exactly.
years.
Listen, I always say, you know, this we get our hands dirty. Why? Because, you know, broken people need help. And there is no, you know, we don't know what we're going to get ourselves into, but we have to have the grace and understanding that we're in it for the right reasons. And that's important. So I really appreciate this opportunity.
Mm. Well, thank you, Michelle. It's been an honor to partner with you. The homes that you've created, I've personally have seen. They're amazing. I'm glad that we got to purchase an aftercare home, one of the houses for you, because I've seen what you do with it and how you are truly helping so many people.
Yes, and we are grateful because it is that particular house that OUR helped us save. It was going to be shut down right after COVID for the housing reasons. And it is that particular home that we were going to lose, and we were also going to lose our presence in that region. So thank you that because you know, vetted us and you knew who we are, that OUR just said, no, here, we have the means. We want to help you. And so we didn't shut down, and thriving even today.
It's incredible.
It is.
Michelle, thank you so much. It's been so good to be with you today.
Thank you.
And I really appreciate our friendship and true collaboration.
Yes, thank you.
Thanks for listening. Did you enjoy this episode? If so, please leave us a review and subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts. If you have ideas for future episodes, email us at voicesforfreedom@ourrescue.org. Lastly, we encourage you to join the fight.
Make a difference today by donating at ourrescue.org or text podcast to 855-944-5646. Again, that number is 855-944-5646.
Next week on the Voices for Freedom podcast, we are going to be talking about the Super Bowl, about demand, about U.S. trafficking. My co-host Matt and I are going to dive deep into this difficult topic. And so we encourage you to be a part of that on Voices for Freedom podcast. Thank you.